Blog Talk Radio.
Back
back here for you, for the people, and glad to be back and to put out this information that I feel is pertinent and relevant to relevant and that affects our community directly and indirectly. If you want to reach us in the empowerment zone, the number to call is area code 914-205-5538. That's 914-205-5538. If you'd like to speak, just press 1 and you'll be entered into the host queue. And I will unmute your mic and you'll be allowed to talk. Please understand that here in the empowerment zone, we operate by the Roberts Rule of Order, which simply means as a measure of respect and kindness to the other guests and callers, when you are done with your question or statement, just yield your time. And again, be respectful. You can say anything you want in the empowerment zone. You can rant, rave, all you want. Make your point and yield your time in order to allow fluid dialogue and for someone, one of the other guests, to retort your statement. Again, if you'd like to reach us here in the empowerment zone, the number to call is 914-205-5538. If you would like to join us in our efforts in the Panther Party, you can reach us at thepantherparty1966@gmail.com. That's thepantherparty1966@gmail.com. Just leave your contact information, name and phone number, and someone will get back to you expediently, I assure you. Again, that's thepantherparty1966@gmail.com, and just leave your information. And I promise you someone will get back to you real soon. With all the those particulars out of the way, really want to tackle something that, I was really wanted to discuss the last edition. However, again, we've got only 2 hours to squeeze in so much, so unfortunately, we weren't able to fully delve into this particular subject matter. However, tonight, we're going to start off. And again, to reach us, 914-205-5538. Just press 1 if you would like to speak, offer offer some kind of contribution, question, rant, whatever, and kind and respectful. But again, you can say whatever you want in the empowerment zone. And what I have in particular on the table tonight, besides besides the current events, is the continued focus on hiring practices in professional sports for minorities and women in particular. The reason why I find this relevant to discuss in this particular podcast is because it's relevant. And we live in a society, a very competitive society. And in America, sports is king. You can become a star. And with that stardom, you can reach untold heights with your stardom and in your success in the games that we play. And in those heights mean you can aspire to be an executive, a coach, an agent, maybe. Something to do in the business aspect of the sports world. So many franchises. And the hiring practices, the current hiring practices in four major sports as well as the NCAA don't get a high grade right now. So we'll be discussing that as well as some current events that I want to focus on. And one of these events, and again, to reach us, area code 914-205-5538. I just press 1, you'll be entered into the host queue, and you can speak. I want to talk about, ever so briefly, just put this on the table. I want to discuss the Ukraine crisis, the war in Ukraine, if you will. And, you know, this is the empowerment zone. This is, you know, we talk world issues and politics because it's relevant to our community and our people and our destiny. There's black refugees, who are people of color, mostly Africans and Indian. Some Pakistani, some Asian, but they're mostly medical students and doctors, interns, if you will. They're just trying to flee the country like everyone else to a safer place. And they're not allowed. They've been turned away to such a degree, been getting worldwide coverage, and particularly on social media, I'm seeing black folks, black Americans, voicing their opinions about these Africans that aren't allowed to leave on the trains trying to escape the war-torn Ukraine. And some of the comments are kind of disturbing, and I see how, in my experience, I see and know how some of the Africans feel about African or so-called African black Americans, know how they feel about us. So with that said, some of the comments that I'm seeing on social media are, I'm paraphrasing here. It's not our war. It's white folks' problem. And I understand that completely. Other comments, such as, those Africans don't care about black folks in America anyway. So why should we care about their problem over there in the Ukraine? Also, I'm also seeing opinions such as, they knew this was coming, why didn't they leave earlier? Like so many others did, and so many others were warned. Those are just some of the comments and opinions that I'm seeing on social media, along with another comment is, why should we care and support a country that is racist or doesn't care about black people? And I think with these reports, black folks not being able to flee with the rest of the people, I think this is it's creating an opportunity for media misdirection and disinformation. I'm not saying that there's any kind of disinformation coming from the media per se. I'm just saying that it's often in situations like this is ripe for it's ripe for disinformation and media misdirection. And you know, with that said, you can see how it could fracture the worldwide support and opinion of Ukraine when they see black people being turned away and pets and animals being allowed on the trains before humans. So in some way, I think that that can be a chink in the armor as far as creating a worldwide support. And when you see things like that, you know, naturally people are going to question their morality, their loyalty, and their moral and their ethics. Why care and support for someone that doesn't care about all lives mattering? You know how they love to say all lives matter. Well, I digress. I'm just saying that this is a ripe opportunity for misdirection and disinformation, and not galvanizing the people to support Ukraine, or fracturing the worldwide support and the opinion of moral people. Also, I want to discuss, before we go on, that's just one of the topics that I want to discuss tonight. And I also want to remind everyone that even though it's not Tuesday, it's Wednesday here in the Empowerment Zone, we recognize Blackout Tuesday, which simply means boycott. Boycott everybody. And when you're doing that, be mindful of the minority-owned businesses that you could be helping out in an effort to help build the community by supporting minority-owned businesses, goods and services. Blackout Tuesday. Again, you know you've been following this show for a while. The number 381. If you don't know what that means, look it up. The number 381. I'll help you out, though. That's how many days boycott lasted that crippled the Montgomery, Alabama bus system. And not only did it cripple, it had such an effect, such an impact. It not only crippled the bus company and made them cave, pretty much bankrupt them and made them cave to the point that they were almost bankrupt. And they had finally given 381 days. In those 381 days, several businesses were started. Delivery services, daycare, other services, shoemaking, because you know people were walking, people were carpooling. They created something out of need. So 381 day boycott changed everything. So when I say Blackout Tuesday, I mean don't shop with them. Please take care of people in the community. There's lots of black and minority-owned goods and services in your neighborhood. Patronize them. If not just on Tuesday, but any day. Any day is a good day to boycott. Any day is a good day to keep your money in your pocket or to pay it forward and help build a community by supporting minority-owned businesses, goods and services. Again, that number 381, looms large, bigger than you think, the impact and what it created. So with that said, again, here in the Empowerment Zone, we recognize Blackout Tuesday, although it's Wednesday today. With that said, speaking of boycott, I'm all for boycotting every major sport in the United States that shits on the fans regularly. And I'm not going to choose sides with my favorites or anything, because they're all in this business to essentially provide entertainment and to make a buck and to get your money. And the way that the owners have consistently taken a giant shit on the fans over the years, I think it's time to show them. And with that said, there's so many other, I'll give you an example. I'm going to use this as an example. 1994, my Chicago Southside White Sox were in first place, had the best record in baseball, snatched the season away. After that, lots of fans didn't come back. It took a home run chase, a home run record chase, to bring the fans back. And it was four seasons after the strike, or lockout, if you will, because the players did go on strike, and then the owners locked them out, much like they're doing right now. But they did it. They were preemptive. The owners this time were preemptive by locking out the players after their collective bargaining agreement to avoid the players going on strike in the middle of the season. So, again, with that said, fuck them. Boycott them. Because that's the only time they care about public opinion is when it comes to those, when it comes to their money. Billion dollar, multi-billion dollar enterprises, and the only thing that they care about is money. So the best way to get it back at them is not to give them your money. Again, capital BOYCOTT. All of them. Fuck them. Haven't they got enough of your money over the years? I know they got mine. They got my money. They got my sweat, tears, fears, worries, anxieties. And for what? They certainly don't care about you. Not such a big fan anymore. Earlier I was going to use another example of how taking a giant shit on their fans when there was a strike back in the 80s. There were players walking in off the street playing ball, risking life and limb to play a very violent game. And the owners at that time couldn't care less. It was terrible. Lots of guys got hurt. Lots of players were grossly underpaid. And once again, the owners got to take a giant shit on the players and the union. Not going to go far into that. I just want to use that as another example of how it's important to say fuck them and keep your money, because they certainly don't give a shit. Entertainment value? Come on, man. There's so much other shit to do now. There's so many other things. People are tired of this shit. People are tired of forking over an exorbitant amount of money for season tickets. Parking, concessions. That shit costs a grip. And you want to take a family of four to a game? You got to take out a small loan to do that. If you don't have money to do that, and most Americans don't, not anymore. And with that money, you could be doing something else. That could be going towards your kid's college. So it can be a doctor and not a baller, a lawyer, or something. Just using that as an example. Again, you're listening to the Empowerment Zone on the Panther Party Radio Network. The number to reach us is 914-205-5538. And if you just press 1, I see I've got a couple of callers waiting so patiently. Thank you. I'm going to open up your mics here shortly. But I also want to get this out. And something that I saw that was really disturbing, I was watching the president last night, and the outburst from that goofy bitch from Colorado and that even goofier bitch from Georgia, I believe. They're both Republican senators, junior senators, I believe, even. In what can only be described, in all my years being involved in politics and being fascinated with politics since I was 8 years old in Watergate, this seems so, oh my God, these far right motherfuckers kill me. It was an absolute breach of decorum, and it was, I couldn't believe it, and it reminded me of when that one Republican senator screamed at Obama and called him a liar when Obama was addressing a joint session of Congress. It wasn't the State of the Union that occurred. It was a joint session of Congress that Obama was speaking to. And this punk called him out. He said, "You're a liar," which he was absolutely contrite shortly after and offered an apology. Unlike Laura Boebert and Marjorie Taylor Greene, these goofy bitches have a history of causing chaos and hate and discontent. And with that said, I just want to point that out, that it's just another example of the division in this country and how disrespectful people are. Disrespectful and have no regard, no manners, and so rude, especially when it comes to your elders, and authority figures. And that certainly wasn't the time or place to just stand on your fucking soapbox when the president is standing there trying to outline some shit. She was out of line. And again, I'm using that as an example of the division in this country and how fucking far we really have to go in order to get some real unity in this country. And fuck supporting somebody else. We got our own problems over here. But I digress. I got no control over that. I'm just, using that as an example. We got our own problems. We got our own shit to worry about over here. And I'm sorry about them people. My prayers and sympathy for Ukraine, but, we got our own stuff. With that said, I see you, 708. I'm going to open up your mic here. I think I know who this is. Welcome to the Empowerment Zone. What's good?
Thanks for having me.
How you doing?
I'm all right. Welcome. I'm all right. You touched on a couple points, but the one that I could really speak on the most is probably the way Major League Baseball and, well, major sports as a whole are, as you would say, taking the shit on the fans. First things first, I think obviously the NBA goes, it doesn't have, it's not without its flaws, clearly, like everything else. But they figured out a way to, like, they are very, very
used to have the players as a business partner. They've created an atmosphere where the players are actual business partners to the
exactly. And the thing is that it's a win-win for both the league and the players. Like, yeah, the league has made it very, like, blatantly obvious. We are about the dollar first. We don't care about these fans. We don't care about how many tickets we're going to sell. We're going to have these seasons open. We're going to make sure that we're going to get this money right. However, at the same time, they have created a platform where, like you said, the players have a certain level of authority and ownership, and it's more guys are more on eye level, equal playing field with the owners and things like that. And you know, considering the fact that they're having major success in every recordable facet, you would think Major League Baseball would be able to be like, you know what? They
use that
doing
as a blueprint.
Let me see if I can copy something. Because, bro, there's no fucking way. Sorry, I ain't trying to get loud or whatnot, but, like, there's no way Mike Trout is damn near the best baseball player of all time, and 9 out of 10 Americans wouldn't know they were standing next to him at Walmart. That is a fucking sin. Everybody in the world knows who LeBron James is. Everybody in the world knows who Steph Curry is. Motherfuckers know who Kirk Heinrich is, okay? But nobody knows. It takes Frank Thomas, a eugenics contract, to get him back on TV. Nobody knows who Mike Trout is. Nobody knows who Randy Johnson is. So, and you would think they'd be able to figure it out. You know, baseball's been dying for a long time, and they have other examples to look at to try to revive their league. You know, let's make All-Star Weekend interesting. How about we actually have it on a weekend instead of a fucking Monday in July like last year?
right?
there's just so many examples for them to point to try to save their league, and they're just willfully and intentionally ignorant about it because they've gotten so comfortable as owners. I mean, if you've been a billionaire for the last 50 years, would you really give a fuck what's going on outside your front door?
And nobody's been telling them no for so long, so why wouldn't they feel like they have ultimate control?
Exactly.
And now it's
hitting the fan at the expense of the fans. No pun intended. Yet again, and it's just, and it just doesn't make sense. Even the NFL, man, you know how I feel about the NFL. Even the NFL, and their well documented problems, they're doing a better job of keeping shit afloat than Major League Baseball, man. And we've been fighting lockouts for 10 years now. You know what I mean? We get the Super Bowl every year like clockwork, and we don't never have to deal with these problems. The whole world knows who Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady are, but again, nobody knows who Mike Trout is, and he's the GOAT. You know, it just doesn't make sense. And it's an indictment on the marketing strategy of the league. It's an indictment on the owners, on everybody who has anything to do with that type of shit. Because, again, man, we got example after example after example. Copy somebody, dog. You ain't even got to be original.
Right, right. Just steal a blueprint.
Yeah.
Because, like you said, the NBA has a partnership with the players. And no other league has that, or has even snipping that measure of success that the NBA has, and they'll probably never go on strike because of that, or they won't lock out the players anymore. I think the players union has made it painfully clear that they are in control, especially with the pandemic thing and after the Breonna Taylor murder, and the statements that were made, the NBA realized, yeah, we have to do something, and I think that they did. I'm using them as an example.
And when it comes to I'm sorry, my bad. But I was going to say, when it comes to just like the logistical side of things, it just seems like they have a much better grip on things. Like, they have they got better oil in their cars or something, man. Because, like, even thinking about, you brought up the pandemic, and I'm thinking about that bubble. The NBA was able to stop their season right before the playoffs, like 8 games left in the regular season. They were able to pause their season, figure out a way to set up a bubble at Disneyland, play a couple regular season games to get guys warmed up, and then run an entire NBA postseason without any major problems. And they were able to do that over the course of, what, 4 or 5 months, maybe, something like that? And you mean to tell me that Major League Baseball watched this pandemic happen as their season was running up and they didn't do it? It took them 4 months to come up with a 60-game schedule? You serious? It doesn't make sense.
You know, there's so many more baseball games, though, man, and you got to take that into consideration. So the logistics aspect and everything. Again, and thank you for that opinion. But I want to ask you, when I was discussing the disparity in hiring, because we can go on and on about the owners and them shitting on the fans, but what I want to focus on really is how for so many, particularly in college, in the NCAA, it's just wrought with disparity, hiring disparities. So much so that they were given a report card from the Institute for Diversity and Ethics in Sport. And Tides has, they've summarized the many, many statistics and reports and studies. Man, it's very disturbing how so many people have been denied, I want to use one example. In 2020, there were racial representation of for presidents and chancellors at FBS schools, 17.7%, meaning people of color representing being presidents and chancellors at these major universities. 17.7%. It went down almost a whole percentage point in 1 year to 2021. Contrast, gender representation for presidents and chancellors from 17.7 in 2020 to 20.8 in 2021. And that's due in part to the recognition of the disparities in the hiring practices. And I'm talking just NCAA, men and women's, particularly men and women's sports, and then the executives therein. So the overall findings gave the NCAA for hiring women in the last 3 years, they gave them an F. And that's really disturbing considering that the sheer disparaging numbers for 79% of executives in the NCAA, in these colleges and universities, are white men over 50. And yet a certain percentage is not represented. That percentage, that's 7%, is only represented by one. That's pretty damn disparaging. The score for race improvement and race relationships at these universities gave them an overall grade of 66. And I know in the scheme of things, it may not seem like much in just blind statistics, But when you think about the grading system and how they went about this, in football, in the NFL, gender hiring for women, they got an F. And there are currently two assistant female women assistant coaches, I think for the Buffalo Bills. One is, I believe, is a weight coach, and one for the Kansas City Chiefs. She's a strength conditioning coach, I believe. But overall, they got an F because they have so few women in positions of executive positions. And the women is only comprised of 17%. And yet there's so many women involved in pro and collegiate sports. But the representation is lacking. And that's rather disturbing. And again, we're going back to how it's been pointed out especially over the last couple of years, with the hiring of black coaches, and it being only one black coach in the NFL currently, and the disparity over the years, and then compound that to black quarterbacks. And of the 32 NFL teams, now there's more than one black quarterback. But for a long time, there were a handful of black quarterbacks on NFL rosters, and even less executives, even fewer executives. Now, let's just say 25 years later, or 30 years later, since the great Randall Cunningham, black quarterback, or the great Doug Williams, black quarterback for the former Washington football team, 30 years later, we're still talking about the lack of hiring minorities and the disparities therein after so long. And now, again, with the focus being on women in particular, especially this month, you know, this is Women's Month now, right? Especially with the focus being on women, I think the attention that's well deserved is being marginalized, and I hope I'm wrong, but I'm just seeing how and in the advent of, I will say this, with the nomination of a black woman for a Supreme Court justice, you know, that's a great thing, but again, I hope I'm wrong. With that said, I'd like to ask what you think, 708. All right. See, my man's not available right now, so if you're just listening, that's cool. I'm gonna open up your mic. Oh, I know who this is. TC, brother, I'm so glad that you could join us tonight. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, sir. How are you?
JP, I'm good, sir. I'm good. We've been discussing. Max chiming in from Los Angeles. We've been discussing the disparity in hiring particularly women of color, and the grade, the awful report card that the four major sports and NCAA got from the Institute of Diversity and Ethics in Sports report card 2022. Very, very bad. And the grading system that they use, I won't go into detail, but it's very thorough. They did their homework, and I want to talk about it because after, as I was discussing a minute ago, after so long, after the great Doug Williams and Randall Cunningham, who were probably the first, I remember Jim Gilliam and James Harris and Vince Evans. I remember those guys. But to me, those guys were the first really successful. Doug Williams winning a Super Bowl, Randall Cunningham winning MVP, being black quarterbacks. And since then, we're still talking about the disparity in hiring practices with the executives, with the lack of executives, ownership and executives in the various leagues and colleges and universities. And so, JD, I'd like to ask your opinion on what do you think?
Interesting. I was having this conversation with my father about Biden and I'll tie this back around, but his appointments, you know, of his staff and now of the judge, I heard you speaking of that, those have been much more diverse than anybody else in history. Yet Biden himself hasn't ever apologized for how vicious he was in the early stages of building this criminal justice system that we have, right? And he hasn't really made, even though these hires are great, they're not affecting change in the system that's really bringing forth repair specifically to the harm he's done to Aboriginal and Indigenous cultures here, you know, or that America has done. And so I say that to say, like, he hasn't even apologized. And part of the hiring process, though, in actually the change that we're talking about within college sports and in sports in general, that in the executive level, part of that is an admission, right? If you're willing to hire those the people that are deservingly to be hired because, one, they reflect the actual staff that you've hired that are performing the duties, that they can communicate differently. You're empowering them, and that brings forth a real change, and it brings forth a change in culture. It brings forth a change in the way things are communicated, and so that's type of this hiring in the sports world would bring forth real change, and in bringing forth real change, some type of acknowledgement has to happen, whether it's said verbally or even through the hiring practices, it would be communicated, and that we're still in this good old boy system, still fighting the ones in power bringing forth change, because change threatens their position of control, their position of how they've maneuvered throughout their life. And that is why, to me, we haven't seen that, because we're not ready to even take the first step in the change process, and that is acknowledge, you know, some of the harms that we have done, acknowledge the differences in cultures, and acknowledge the value of black, brown, indigenous, and aboriginal cultures. And even women to men, as you were speaking of. So acknowledging that there's a difference in approach in feminine energy than just this white dominated male energy. So
there really is a different approach. I agree 100%. But when you say the approach, I know exactly what you mean. And identifying how in the boardroom, I'll just say, in the boardroom, how a woman is addressed, and how a woman is perceived, especially a black woman, is how she's perceived. Whereas a black man, you know, it's for them, it's easier for in the boardroom, it's easier for them to minimize and even somewhat emasculate in the way that's done, where when a woman, a strong woman, is perceived as just that, dangerous, she can be forceful, aggressive, she can be in charge because of the old, she can be that one authority that nobody will challenge simply because she's black, and then if she's challenged, then you got a race problem. So the approach is different than it would be
right
with a black man or a man of color, because again,
but we do have a race problem. Sorry to cut you off.
No, you're right, man. You're right.
Right, so that's the thing we're avoiding the most, and whether it's even subconsciously built into our denial and our defensiveness and our just avoidance, period. If I'm in a position of power and I'm just saying, look, I'm hiring someone that I feel is qualified, consciously, I don't even want to address the differences in cultures that then may expose some of my things I've been trying to hide through capitalistic decisions. Then I'm subconsciously not, I'm going to hire someone. For instance, if I'm the type of person that is scared of being challenged by those and whatnot, then I start to hire someone that's not going to challenge me. And by doing that, that person knows that they can't hire someone that's going to challenge them. And so even whether I planned it all the way down to the bottom, how it was going to work, if I'm building a police force and the idea of policing is not serving the community, but actually serving the interests of corporate interests of a racist system, then I'm naturally hiring those that fit that mold. Whether or not I've designed it specifically in the paperwork to say so, this is how my practices are. So our consciousness and our subconsciousness develop, and our values create our approach. And by doing that, then we're going to hire to protect those values. And if we're not going to change our values to say that, you know what, let's look at the sports world and the culture that it creates and the influence that they have, and let's see the positives in continuing to hire more minorities and women that are actually creating this environment that sports thrives in, and it brings out the beauty of the sports in and of itself. And we're going to continue this idea of, we need to have predictive measures and all of those things. This analytics thing feeds into our system of wanting to control, even though we're not even seeing the beauty of just enjoying the sport itself, enjoying the competition within that realm, but not outside of that realm. And just the culture that we've created as far as controlling and manipulating and monetizing it, we're going to subconsciously keep doing that because we don't want to change the, and I speak of we as from my low melanated people, we don't want to face the change culturally that needs to happen, although the younger generation, I believe, is more ready.
Indeed, the younger generation is more ready and open to, and more open-minded, if you will. that change is hard to grasp when you've had control for so long. And also added what you said about the fear factor. They're afraid that the change is gonna their culture for that matter. And that's such a shame because for as much as they've been preaching diversity and change, I'm just not seeing much progress being made,
right?
Except for when they highlight something, you know. And then again, I don't know if you heard me earlier reading off a couple of stats, and that the NCAA got from the Institute on Diversity and Ethics in Sports. They did a report. They've done reports over the years, but the 2021 report gave NCAA an F. They gave Major League Baseball a C minus. They gave the NFL a D. And this is just going on based on the hiring practices and
right.
Diversity or lack thereof. And JD is really, really disturbing to see some of the statistics and then
yeah.
hiring.
I would say. Right.
And the percentages that have gone down and the misrepresentation when it comes to even when it comes to women's sports, man. Look how many and I watch college basketball. I still love games. Look how many women's teams have men head coaches.
Right. And men athletic directors and all of those things.
Wrong about that, man.
Absolutely.
You mean to tell me that Cynthia Cooper isn't as qualified Gene Ciccarelli? I just don't believe that. I mean, you don't have to be a coach. Yeah, you got to be qualified, but you don't have the same. They just hold women to a different standard when it comes to hiring, especially on that level, and the way that they pay. And not only that, these men that are coaching these women's teams are making more than the women that are coaching the women's teams. And you don't see women coaching men's teams.
And I would argue that the change that women would bring to men's sports in a hiring practice, and not just like what the change the women would implement, but just by being there, it would force some of the men to behave differently, period, just to make it a comfortable situation that would actually be better as a whole. And yet also I would argue that in sports, having a woman coaching women's sports allows women to have a little more comfort that they have not been allowed to have in sports as much, because it's always been such a male dominated thing. So both hiring women in both spaces would be better for the humanity of those sports and bringing forth a lift in sort of this, for lack of a better way of saying it, but the spiritual energy, the spiritual level. I'm missing my words right now, but that would enhance either one, and not in a way that men are comfortable, because we'd have to then be forced to face some of our own issues that we need to correct.
Indeed. Just like you said a few minutes when you opened up with the fact that Biden hasn't even shown any measure of contrition or apology for the 1994 fucking crime bill that got so many black men and went to jail for nothing. wish I didn't have to use all these negative examples. But I got to point out the disparity, man. And again, as I was talking about last week, you know, yeah, we're pining for all these positions, executiveship, and you know, we want all this authority. We want to be head coaches. We want to represent. I totally get it. But by the same token, but you want your own something to control, and you don't have to beg for shit when you got your own. You know, the whole Kyrie and Larry Nance Jr. Kyrie Irving and Larry Nance Jr. talking about starting last year during the pandemic. During the bubble, they were talking about, you know, starting a league of their own. Why don't we have our own? And, you know, that was quickly dashed because of the, you know, the old heads are like, no, you can't do that. We worked so hard to get to where we are now. Now you want to secede and start something else? Oh, man, that's not the answer. You're supposed to encourage that kind of rhetoric. Not condemn him and call him and dismiss him as crazy for wanting something of his own, for wanting to do something to contribute to the community, to build something on it. You're not condemning, you know, you didn't condemn Jay-Z when he bought a piece of the Brooklyn Nets and everything that he's doing. You're not condemning that. Just saying, it's a good idea to want to have something of your own, so therefore you can control it and you don't have to ask anybody for a damn thing. You don't have to struggle to qualify. I mean, of course you know what I mean. You don't have to beg for anything,
right? And
when you have your own.
Yeah, that's why I speak of reparations in a sense of not just a check, but as us white folks really letting go of the control, as if you would need to, even through a reparation standpoint, you would need to come to us for the check, come to us for this, come to us for that. No, we need to move out of the way. But even in this setting, you know, the challenges that would be faced with just doing it on your own, not that you shouldn't, but that it's beyond, you know, you got the power of the television and of the arenas and all of those things that would need to respect, if not that our history is that we would try to destroy you for trying to get your own, which is why we would create this idea that you're crazy for wanting your own, so that we can spin that. Then that's all destructive behavior that has been built into white supremacy culture.
Yeah, that destructive behavior, as well as the coonage, that's just as destructive. I think I said that right. Coonage. Yeah, it is. It's even worse, man. Because it really fractures the efforts. It fractures the constructive efforts and strides that we've made. You know, because again, that perception and those stereotypes, they still cling to it. JD, I really appreciate you taking the time. I know you said you had a limited time this evening, and again, I want to thank you for offering your contribution. That's always so valuable here in the Empowerment Zone, and greatly appreciate it. But I wanted to ask you your opinion and speak on this for however long as you like, but I wanted to ask you about what you think about the black refugees that have had to rely on the underground networks to get the fuck out of Ukraine, because because they weren't, because they're not allowed on the trains. They're allowing pets and animals on the trains before humans.
It goes right back to the values system, and when I say value system, I mean it in two different ways. What are our values as this white supremacy culture, and how do we value others? And so, I mean, even in the reporting itself, before we even get to the how the referee, how the refugees are treated. Sorry, I'm still in sports, but the reporting in and of itself, there was a woman that did a beautiful montage of different reports about how we need to go and help the Ukrainians because these are not a third world country. We need to go and help the, you know, these are not refugees. That these are, you know, almost to the point of saying these are humans we're talking about, not those other kinds. And it was blatantly done, and yet on such a comfort level on various European-based networks, and I include the United States when I say European, but from NBC reporting, CNN reporting, like the idea that we were comfortable enough to describe what was happening in Ukraine as a human humanity issue. And yet also I was looking at Russell Brand break this down the other day. The idea that when we go into, when the United States has gone into so many other countries where black and brown folks have been, and we've used unnecessary force. Of course, we don't even get reported on. We control so much of how the spin is. But there's just no value, and which is why we, why, you know, I speak about it in my book, that in order to have reparations, we have to have a change in how we value the folks, because we've done such a masterful job of the perception that all the contributions blacks have made is American, and yet we want to create also the similar, at the same time, the perception that black folks are meant to be poor because of their mentality, they're uneducated, they're more violent, and all of these things, when the opposite has constantly been true. We just are manipulated, and we manipulate in order to control that imaging. So there's just this lack of value of human life for those that have melanin, as if those of us who don't have melanin have more value. And it's that bully system. It's that I feel intimidated by you, so I'm going to create this idea that pulls you down so that I feel better about myself. And we've created such a value system that's even natural, from the way we speak about it in the reports to the way we treat folks. And yet it's not a human, it's not a humanity issue to us. And it's really sickening for me to watch this. And then it's, and then it, for me, it becomes hard to even feel bad for the Ukrainians at that point, because it's, you know, if we're not valuing it, valuing all life, then why should our lives be valued? And as far as I'm concerned, and that's, and I don't like to feel that way because I value all life. And yet, that's the issue that we're facing, is just a complete devaluing of folks that, like you said, and, you know, I remember when I first met this organization, Aware LA, and they're associated with White People for Black Lives. And there, in part of the discussion group, we would split off in part of the process when we would meet once a month, we would split off into discussion groups of three and allow 10 minutes for each of us to speak. And it was my very first time going there. And there was a woman that was coming into her own knowledge of her privilege and of the, that racism still existed. And this was right around, right after the Trump victory in 2016. And it was November or December, I think, after that. And she was speaking about, as she woke up, she started to pay attention to, because we all would get, you know, sign this petition, sign this petition, sign this petition. And she started to see that the petitions about animal rights were in the tens of thousands, and the petitions about human rights for black folks was in the thousands, and that made her sick. And like, that is still where we are today, and that's being shown to us, if we want to see it, that's being shown to us right now in the way refugees are treated in Ukraine.
And, you know, thank you, brother. You know, well said. And, you know, this isn't the first example we've seen of black refugees being mistreated and utterly disregarded as subhuman. Utterly regarded as subhuman and disregarded when it came to coming with the and then with that said, oh my God, the utter abuses that happened after the earthquake in Haiti. And the fallout from the victims being essentially trafficked, children of the earthquake in Haiti were eventually trafficked, and just using that as an example of the disregard for black life when it comes to situations like this. And international crisis and refugee situations. There's no room. Sorry, you're gonna hear this word, but no room for niggas. Sorry, that's the perception. And then, as you mentioned, you know, why would you care and support people that all lives matter? And I think that's the, from what I'm seeing and reading in social media, that seems to be the consensus among black people. Why should we care? And also, you know, the perception that of black folks in America, blacks, African-Americans rather, and Africans don't see eye to eye. And there's contempt between, for many years. I mean, it's been well known that they don't care for us, that they don't consider us black, that we're not from, that the black Americans aren't from the motherland. They're not African. And in some ways, they're absolutely right. Every black person in this country didn't originate in Africa. You know, indigenous people, as you made well known. But I think JD and Max, that's the consensus that I'm seeing in social media. You know, it's not our war. You know, it's white people's problem. That's Ukraine. That's white country. It got nothing to do with us. Those Africans over there, they should have been left. They knew what was happening. They should have been left. They don't feel sorry for you. And that's the opinion that I'm seeing. And I just like to know if that's a generalization, if that's a popular opinion, is that a like you said, the comfort level that we have, is it the same comfort level that the Ukrainian border guards have for not letting black folks on the train? share the same comfort level? I don't know. I just think that with this footage, with these reports, you know, it's creating. It's ripe for direction and disinformation, and truly, you know, when there's disinformation created, when there's disinformation, whether it be from media or public, it has a tendency to really damage support and opinion. Positive support and positive opinion when there's so much misinformation because nobody knows what the fuck to think.
Right.
You know, and then you're left to your own devices to form a fucked up opinion when you don't know something for sure. You know, it just forces you to form a really screwed opinion, and that's not fair. And so I think that that's what this is created. And this situation is ripe for misinformation, rather disinformation and media misdirection. And it's a shame. But fortunately, there are networks, underground networks, that are helping these medical students get out of there. And they're providing safe passage. We've gotten some confirmation that many have gotten out. There's still some that remain, but many have gotten out since we got some news on Monday. So that's good to hear, and hopefully we'll be receiving more encouraging news in the coming hours and days, hopefully getting everyone to a safe zone and out of that war-torn region. No matter what color you are, we're human. We're all human, and everybody deserves to be safe.
And if you don't mind me adding, even in the sort of progressive media that's even pointing it out, one of the problems I've had with the progressive media and pointing out, you know, treating refugees like humans is we never go far enough to say part of the reason why they even are leaving their own country to come to these places is because of the efforts of colonialism and especially imperialism of America and how we've gone in with our militarization and treated these countries and destroyed and stolen from their resources, and instead of giving them their share of the wealth that we've built from those resources, given that they're the ones occupying that land anyway, that has created this whole viewpoint of third worldness and we have the power to define that, and we're not saying that. And so that's why, you know, whether you're from far left to far right, white culture is still not coming to the grips of the truth about valuation and who's defining that and how it's defined and how we're communicating. And going to your confusion is a... It maintains the deceptive practices and the strength of those deceptive practices, because you can't have control on a real truthful playing field. And so anyway, I just wanted to add that. I appreciate that.
100, bro. You're absolutely right. And, you know, that confusion is a staple of propaganda machine. You know, you know, when you whip up everybody's opinion and you toss in some bullshit mixed with some truth, oh man, you create a monster, and everybody wants a, everybody. everybody wants a bite because and again, those perceptions that are thrown on these third world countries, and the whole thing about not sharing the wealth, and the reason why they're third world countries is because they haven't shared the wealth. And not only after what they've stolen, you know, but why would you share what you ripped somebody off with? Why would you share it with them?
Of course.
And not only that, the fact that this whole thing was created by this whole propaganda machine is in such overdrive right now. And out of control, and we got no control over this. So I wish I could say no worries, but we got a lot to worry about. If you got any kind of heart, and if you have loved ones, you should be concerned about what's going on. I know it's 10,000 miles away, but man, there's times when it indirectly hits home. And that's unfortunate. Again, the disinformation and the media misdirection is fracturing the worldwide support and the opinion of the moralistic Americans and everyone else in the world that has a heart and sympathy for what's going on over there, and fears for that matter. But I just want to say this, and then we're coming up on the last half hour of the show, and I haven't even taken a break yet. But one last thing before I do take a short break, I just want to make a commentary on this hypocritical Washington moral/justice compass. Because as you mentioned, JD, a minute ago, you know, we've been invading countries and robbing them for their resources and murdering and raping and pillaging for a long time. And yet when another country does it, when another powerful country does it, we develop these morals suddenly, and we're standing for justice and peace and defense of innocent lives. We have a judicial system that's killed more people than anything that Putin's doing right now. So miss me with this hypocritical bullshit and this morality compass that you want to dangle in front of the world and say, oh, we're America. We don't stand for this. We don't stand for injustice and the rape and pillaging and robbing of indigenous people. We won't stand for this. How dare you, Washington? How dare you, fucking hypocrite? Now you're doling out almost $1 billion in aid to some people over there that don't give a shit about you or me, and yet you can't come up with money to keep your schools afloat. You can't come up with money to take care of your veterans. You can't pass an equal rights bill. You can't fucking pass a reparations bill. But you got all this money to give to refugees and aid. And I get it. Very noble to want to help somebody. But with America, there's always a price. Trust and believe. They ain't giving that money to nobody. They expect. They expect and will get that money back and then some. Trust me. And it's a sad state. And that's my commentary. it's a sad state that we give this, that we foster this illusion of morality and justice when it comes to other countries. This false sense of ethics, and yet you have a criminal justice system that's blood of people. You've been listening to the Empowerment Zone on the Panther Party Radio Network. We're going to take a short break, and in the next 30 minutes, we're going to put a bow on this thing that we do here in the Empowerment Zone and further discuss the subject at hand. I really want to continue to focus on the topic of the hand. Please, again, you're listening to the Empowerment Zone on the Panther Party Radio Network. I want to thank all my guests for joining me tonight and hanging in there. So just give me about 4 or 5 minutes, and we'll be back after this short break. Oh, again, the number to reach us is 914-205-5538. That's 914-205-5538. Give us a call. Tell somebody. Come check us out. We got something hot to talk about in the last 30 minutes before we put a bow on this thing. Hang in there, y'all. We'll be right back.
It's unfortunate that we even have to say Black Lives Matter. I mean, if you go through history, nobody ever gave a fuck. I mean, you can kill black people in the street. Nobody goes to jail. Nobody goes to prison. But when I say Black Lives Matter and you say All Lives Matter, that's like if I was to say Gay Lives Matter and you say All Lives Matter. If I said Women's Lives Matter and you say All Lives Matter, you're diluting what I'm saying. You're diluting the issue. The issue isn't about everybody. It's about black lives at the moment. But the truth of the matter is, they don't really give a fuck about anybody if you break the shit all the way down to the low fucking dirty ass truth.
We say that black lives matter, but truthfully they really never have. No one ever really gave a fuck. Just read your books and history books. But honestly, it ain't just black. It's yellow, it's brown, it's red. It's anyone who ain't got cash. Poor white, that they call trash.
Charlotte affiliate father of four was holding a book instead.
Officer Vincent was in plain clothes when the shooting happened, and he was not wearing a body-worn camera, but we are told that three other officers were there. The department is under increasing pressure to release police videos from the shooting, but the police chief says they will not do that right now because of the investigation.
Don't fall for the bait and switch! Racism is real but not here! They fuck whoever can't fight back! But now we gotta change all that! The people have had enough! Right now it's them against us! This shit is ugly to the core! When it comes to the poor, no life matters! This shit is ugly to the core! When it comes to the poor, no life matters!
Welcome back to the Empowerment Zone on Panther Party Radio Network. Tonight we've been discussing and we've been following the current events that are affecting our community, as well as we've been continuing to focus on the hiring practices in professional sports for minorities and women. And considering that this is International Women's Month, the month of March, we're going to continue to focus on women's issues in the Empowerment Zone for a bevy of reasons. We've been focusing on this particular issue the last couple of years, in fact, but really not in much depth. We've spoken about the impact if there were no black athletes and where and if whether or not there would be any professional sports leagues in America outside of soccer. How about that? And I guess I could include baseball, since baseball is such an international sport as well. But, again, focusing on the disparities in the hiring practices or lack thereof, the minorities and women. It's really sad because for so many years, there's been an outcry for equality and room, a seat at the fucking table. And my contention is, after all these years, and with all the great examples of black people being capable of great heights and achieving such great heights, so many examples, and yet we're not trusted in the boardroom or in the general manager's office or in the agency or in the owner's box. Can never get a seat there. Still, after all these years of accomplishments and all these years of such great gains, we're still talking about disparity in hiring in pro sports. Again, I'm using the example of great Doug Williams. He couldn't get a job. He won a Super Bowl. First black quarterback to win a Super Bowl. Couldn't get a job in the NFL as coach, as a head coach. So he had to go to his alma mater, Grambling State University, and take over for legendary coach Eddie Robinson. This brother achieved so much. And you mean tell me he's not qualified? And yet you got a bunch of numbnuts, old boys, tracing through the league as head coaches and executives, getting an getting paid an exorbitant amount of money to fucking fail over and over again. We got leagues full of retreaded coaches and executives that stay on a job for 3, 4, 5 years and then either move on to a bigger, a higher position, or they get fired and move on to another organization where they will indeed still get paid an exorbitant amount of money to fucking fail. And yet, there's black men and women who are just as qualified, even more so in some cases, that won't get an opportunity. Or, according to the Rooney Rule that the NFL installed, you have to at least interview or show, pretend that you're going to hire some black folks. That's the Rooney Rule, because there was such disparity in hiring practices in the NFL for so many years, and yet still no black owners. Years ago, when the Los Angeles Rams, owned by old white lady, because her husband died and she took over ownership of the team, she put the team up for sale. They eventually ended up moving to St. Louis. They left Los Angeles for a few years before they returned to win a Super Bowl eventually. But anyway, at the time when, I think her name was Georgia Frontiari, she owned the team, put it up for sale. The great Walter Payton, the great Chicago Bears, Jackson State University, Walter Payton, legend, put together a group to buy the team. He was going to be the majority shareholder. And they refused to sell the team. And then they sold it. Mrs. Frontiari sold the team. A single white man. Not a group. Not an ownership group. But one white billionaire that paid her price. And yet, Walter Payton's group was willing to pay an even greater price with a group that was bent on making a profit and being the first black-owned NFL franchise. And even the great Walter Payton was not allowed. And this was in the 90s. This was shortly before Sweetness passed away. But that was his dream, to own an NFL team. And he was denied, vehemently denied, and then faced. And so after all these years, we're still talking about this. Are you kidding me? I want to get your opinion. I'm going to open up the microphone if you can, I hear a baby in the background. I know who that is. If you could just mute your mic when you're not speaking or get someplace quiet or less of a background, then we greatly appreciate it. Mics are open if you want to contribute and offer an opinion on anything that I just laid out in the last, say, 15, 20 minutes of the show, be greatly appreciated. I'd love to hear your opinion because I got questions. Knock, knock. Mic check, 1, 2.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Hey, yeah, I kind of got my hands full here, but to go back to what you said about Walter Payton trying to be one of the trying to be the first black ownership group in the NFL, I did not know about that first and foremost. But you know, not to bring up the NBA again, but look what Mike had to do to buy his hometown team. You know what I mean? And look what Michael Jordan. We're talking about Michael Jordan, for God's sake. Look what he went through with the ownership of the Wizards. The only reason he played is because he caught the bug. You know what I mean? He caught that hooping bug and he couldn't let it go. So he started playing again, and he was under the impression that he was going to be able to get his job back once he got done playing for real. And once he retired officially and he was done, that job was no longer available to him. So, you know, it took him being Michael Jordan to be able to buy his hometown team after going what he went through in Washington. So, I just think that's we're talking about all time record holder. You know the greatest of all times at their expenses. And you know, LeBron is probably next. He said for a long time he wants to play with his son and he wants to own a team. So I'm sure he's not going to have a problem doing that because of, you know, the area that he's
You can't do that. You can't be sure of that, Mac. You cannot be sure of that.
I'm not going to be sure with him, but I'm saying he's not going to have to jump over the same hurdles that all these other guys we're talking about have. Because of, him being LeBron James and the impact that he's had. I mean, he's opened a school already, for God's sake. I'm sure he's not going to, you know what I mean? Like, I'm sure him being LeBron James is going to help. But, you know, like I said, we saw what happened to Mike and Walter and XYZ. So who knows, for real. But, you know, we'll see. But, like, that just goes to show how the NBA is a different game than any other major league, to be honest with you. Because, you know, we've been talking about the NFL the majority of this whole time, but we don't even have to bring up hockey or baseball. You know what I mean?
Hockey's got their own issues with sex controversies. And, yeah, it's really bad. And then baseball with this whole lockout, and we discussed that earlier. But the NBA does at least have their finger on the pulse of the players, and the players have at least some measure of control of their own destiny, and they've built a partnership with the owners that nets them quite a bit of money for retirement, because all these players, you know, some players make tens of million dollars more than others, you know, with the league minimum and all that, so there is some disparity in the salaries. And so what they're doing is they're putting together this fund, a retirement fund, if you will, for players that don't make a lot of money. So when after they and if they don't have a 10-year, if they're not journeymen and don't have a tenure in the league, then they don't get any retirement money. This money that they're building up now, that they're setting aside, is for those players that don't get paid an exorbitant amount. Like the LeBron James and the big money players.
I heard rumors of that, but I didn't really know much about that. But that's
what yeah, that's
open.
What they've
you know,
done.
That reminds me.
You think the NFL is trying to do shit like that? Do you think the NFL is trying to do anything like that? I mean, they just paid out a fraction. A fraction in the settlement of the lawsuit from the former players, of the old heads that played in the 40s, 50s, 60s, and 70s that didn't get these big contracts that were totally under the thumb of these ownerships, and these owners were throwing around nickels like sewer caps. And these players were not making money, so they settled. This lawsuit, it was a class action suit that the league settled on, and it was a fucking fraction of what they deserved or what they asked for. A fraction. and it's still not enough. So the NBA is trying to avoid that by doing what they're doing now, and I commend them on that. These other leagues have a lot to do to make these changes, these necessary changes in regards to not just the players, but the executives and the men and women that have sacrificed, you know, their family life, that have made careers out of coaching and fucking watching film and going to camps and, you know, everything that goes into being a coach and a leader and an executive. There's so many black men and women and people of color that deserve an opportunity, that deserve a seat in the boardroom, that deserve to have and have earned the right. Just as much as anyone else has the right. When you got that kind of paper, and with that said, there is a person of color that's an NFL owner. Not American, and he's not black. He's Pakistani, and he owns the Jacksonville Jaguars. And he just recently bought the team, I want to say less than five years ago. And he's a billionaire tech giant, plenty of money. And they did not give him a hard time about acquiring what is essentially an expansion team, because that team's only been in the league for 25 years now. Well, 1994 or two, so yeah, 30 years. Still, not an old franchise. It's changed ownerships a number of times, and a person of color is the actual majority shareholder owner of the Jacksonville Jaguars. But that's just one, man. And the executives, the percentage of executives and decision makers is minimal. Minimal at a dubious best. So unrepresentative of the demographic that they belong to. A fraction of the representation. And that's not wrong. I mean, and that's so wrong. And it's not right. And we want to bring focus. We want to put focus on that and bring attention to these facts. Because, these people have worked and sacrificed so much. Gone from whether or not they've gone from the playing field to the boardroom, or an assistant coach to assistant coach to assistant head coach, opportunities there, and the lack and the diversity or lack thereof is blatant. It's glaring. And there's a glaring need for change. And again, the focus is on the disparity in the percentages of representation, the actual percentage of representation of the demographic. Again, there's so many people that deserve, that have sacrificed and worked so hard many years, doing everything that everybody else has to do, but still won't get that opportunity, still get grossly overlooked. And it's about time for it to change. And if not, if we don't see any significant change in the coming months and years, then I recommend, I'm going along with what players have been saying for quite a long time. Start a league of our own. They've done it in soccer. Countries, there's soccer leagues in other countries that are owned by black people. Start our own. Then you don't have to beg for shit. You don't have to ask nobody for nothing. There's opportunity there. Open the doors. Open the doors for the people that are qualified. And let them have a seat. And let them give them the opportunity, once they get in that seat, to use what they're qualified to do, what they're qualified to do, and to make a significant impact. So many examples. Had many examples of significant impact and contribution. So why isn't there more outcry? Well, I guess there is. It just seems that in the scheme of things, you know, people are starting to lose their interest in professional sports for a myriad of reasons. And I totally get it. I'm among them. Do I love my sports still? Yeah. It's not to the degree that I did when I was a kid. And maybe that's because I've seen it all and I've experienced so much. And then maybe it's because I don't have the same eagerness, and it's not worth my attention because I have so many other things to focus on, you know, so many other priorities and things that need my attention. I got so many other demands. I can't be all spun up about a form of entertainment, especially if it ain't paying my bills. I can't get all hyped about somebody that's making $75 million. They not getting treated right when I'm struggling to pay my bills. Come on, man. I don't have that kind of time. I don't have that much care. Again, it's just a form of entertainment. And, yeah, does it get you hyped? Are you thrilled when the team that you're cheering for, that you're rooting for, is successful and they're winning? Yeah. But in the scheme of things, especially with everything that we talk about here in the apartment song, in the scheme of things, games don't mean a damn thing. Again, it ain't paying your bills. They're paying them to entertain you. You're buying all these video games. You're buying all these tickets. Buying all these hot dogs and nachos, beers and shit. When you go to the games, you're spending more money at a game than you make in a week. And it doesn't matter in the scheme of things. Because we got a whole bunch of other shit. And then when that time comes, when you feel the need to be entertained, and that's when you go. But you're not gonna take food out of your kid's mouth to go to a game. You're not gonna go to miss a money making opportunity to watch a game on television. If you don't have a vested interest, like, you know, like gambling, then why? Because in the scheme of things, it don't mean nothing. It's just a form of entertainment, which is great. And, again, I'm a sports fan. I've been an athlete all my life. Well, I used to be an athlete. Oh, man, now. But he's been an athlete. I love sports. But again, the scheme of things don't mean nothing when we have all these other things to focus on that garner our attention, much needed attention that we can be focusing on, that's going to help build the community, that's going to make some change, that's going to do something that can impact everyone around us in some way or another. You've been listening to The Empowerment Zone on the Panther Party Radio Network. We've only got a couple of minutes remaining, well, roughly 90 seconds now. And I want to thank Dr. J.D. Mass for joining us. I want to thank Maxwell in L.A. for joining us tonight in our conversation. Really, really greatly appreciate you guys jumping on and contributing. Your opinion and your thoughts and your words are so, are invaluable, and I can't thank you enough. Love you. Love you so much. You know how I feel about you, JD. And Max, you already know too. Once again, thank you for joining us tonight, and all those that have been listening online, I see you, all my drivers, all my servers out there. Please be careful. Realize and understand, know that you are a target. When you get off work 2-3 o'clock in the morning, get out there in the parking lot, just be careful. Let somebody know where you're at. Let someone know your comings and goings. Because there is somebody that's worried about you and thinking about you. So be aware of that. Let somebody know where you're at when you're leaving. That could be where you got to go. Keep your eyes and ears peeled at all times. You know the rules of the street. And understand that you are a target. So please be ultra careful. You can never be too safe in this crazy, sick-ass world that we live in. With that said, Godspeed and all your travels. Thank you again, everyone that's called and listening. Everybody world in the free world that's listening around the world, thank you. All power to the people. You've been listening to The Empowerment Zone on the Panther Party Radio Network. Peace, everybody.
I gotta carry 'em.
Yeah, yeah, I'ma go into this. Yeah, yeah, this is Gorilla. Yeah, yeah, I'ma go get the bag. Yeah, yeah, or I'ma get the bag. Yeah, yeah, I'm so cold like, yeah. Yeah, I'm so dull like, yeah. Woo. We gon' blow like, yeah.
Look what I'm whipping up. Look how I'm kicking up. I'm so pretty. I'm on Gucci. I'm so pretty. I'm gonna get it. This is belly. Ooh,
yeah.
On my Kodak.
Black.
Ooh, know that.
America. I just checked my following, listen. You motherfuckers owe me.
Just a big dog, yeah. My kindle came in a backyard. My barbarian life is so dope.